Our comedians now, and they're both in Tamaki Makaurau. We welcome Tereda and Michelle Acourt. Kia ora korua.
Morning, Catherine.
Beautiful day in the city of Sails?
Yes, it is. No, it isn't. I thought it was, and then I actually turned and looked out the window and went, oh, no, wait a second, I can see clouds. So I want to apologise in the advance for any boarding calls that are going to be issued to Whangarei or New Plymouth. In the next 7 minutes, I'm in an airport lounge.
Are you in one of the little lounges? Are you off to a little place as opposed to a...
Well, yes, I am off to a little place. I'm off to beautiful Takaka, so a lovely trip to the Southern Isles, where no doubt I will go and admire some of the art and the galleries in the town in the very short time that I'm there, and who knows, may discover some kind of unknown artist. I'll probably troll the bins, see if I can't pick up a bargain or two.
Just make sure you don't put any toast on while you're at the airport, because there's already been one of those today.
Has there? Look, I tell you what,
Kiwi.
There has got to be a gap in the market for someone who invents a better toaster than those ones that go around on the conveyor belt that literally whatever you do, it never toasts your toast. You know, and I was next to a man once who turned the speed of one up, and I went, mate, that's not going to do the job. You're going to get the bread through faster, but it's not going to toast. You're ruining it for everyone.
I'm so sorry. When you said conveyor belt, and we've been talking about airports and toasters, you said toasters on a conveyor belt, all I could think of was somebody putting a toaster on a conveyor belt at the airport, which is actually a really quite delightful image, and possibly would toast better that way.
It's very Kiwi, just though, isn't it, to vacate the capital's airport because someone burnt the toast.
Absolutely. And it was probably, they put something in there other than toast, like it was a hash brown or a piece of steak. That would be the most Kiwi thing possible.
It's because people don't pay attention to the little signs that next to some of the baked goods that say not to be toasted. Don't put a croissant through the conveyor belt with those. But I was just watching it, you know, what kind of privilege does someone has that they think they can just come in and just turn up the speed of the toasting conveyor belt for no purpose whatsoever? What a world we live in.
Right now we're distracting ourselves from what is possibly the sweetest, most bittersweet story we've ever had on The Week That Was ever before. This is the story about George Westrum. That's the one you've started talking about, isn't it?
It was.
The gorgeous man. Look,
I'm a bit of a skip dumper. A skip dumper. I mean, I do dump things into a skip. I love to dive in a skip. I cannot walk past the skip without having a little bit of a quick nosy to see if there's something I didn't know I needed in the skip. And with this one, there was a gentleman was living somewhere, and he suddenly noticed that there was an older man who lived upstairs who sadly passed away by himself in this house. And then when the removers came in, they were throwing all of this stuff into the skip, including what was described as his entire life's work of art. And the guy pulled it out, couldn't believe how great it was, put a post up on the socials, and suddenly we have a new world-famous artist, George Westrum, famous posthumously, sadly for George.
So the delicious part of this story is that George, who was 75 when he died, had spent part of his life homeless and was a recovering alcoholic. And one day, as a homeless man, he ducked out of the rain into an art gallery and saw the Bridget Riley exhibition, the optical illusion art, and really liked it. And so started doing it in black and white. And once he got into recovery from his addiction, started adding colour. This story just makes me all weepy, and I'm so sorry that he doesn't get to see that he's now going to have an exhibition of his work, because people love it so much. Apparently it's really good. You know, it's not like some people when they are in recovery take up pottery and make really crooked vases. He's actually tremendously good at art. So beautiful story. Thank you for finding it, Raina. Made me cry.
Look, it's making me kind of get whippy. I love the fact that his chosen medium was felt pens. Felt tips, they said, presumably because it was all he could afford. And what's really lovely about it is that the guy who found the art, his downstairs neighbor, he exchanged greetings with him. And let this be our sort of message for the weekend. There's a flight call. He didn't know this guy was an artist. He said he was just a shy, solitary man who lived upstairs. And to think we were so close, we were kindred spirits. We could have been friends. You know, we need to get to know the people who live around us.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a chat with somebody and find out what their story is before it's a little bit too late.
Yes, so there we go. You know, but it is that thing that's never too late. You can always be a success, even if you don't even know it.
It might be too late, though, if Jupiter does what it's to Earth, what it's done to some other planets. This story really creeped me out. I didn't realise that I had to be anxious about this. So Jupiter, the planet, has a detectable inside it other planets. Like, I'm envisioning Pac-Man. Oh, do you have to board that plane radar, or are you okay?
No, I don't. No, I get anxious that it could be my plane. I'm sorry about that, everyone. Look, there are a lot of things that make me uneasy and cause a lack of sleep. And I don't even know where these people are going. Look, sorry about this, everyone. Hey, but the fact that Jupiter is eating other planets, the only reason we know is because there was a gap in its kind of notoriously cloudy weather. And the little probe, the Juno Space Probe, could look down and suddenly we all went, oh, wait a second, this is worse than we thought. So I don't know whether its gravitational pull will affect Earth, where what's just a 742 million kilometres away.
Which suddenly doesn't seem far enough, to be honest.
Doesn't seem far enough, but with the price of fuel, we're never going to make it there. so we should be okay.
In the meantime,
how does a planet eat another planet? Like, how does it do it? Like, it doesn't.
It must pull it into its gravitational pull and do some sort of weird Pac-Man mouth-opening munching thing. That's all I can think of.
And then burp.
Because it just makes it sound so gentle.
And then burp, yeah.
Perhaps that's what that storm is that they've had on there for centuries that's going around and around Jupiter. It's some the gas of a sort of a recently consumed planet.
I'm loving the Wordle story. I don't know how anyone gets to 373 or 375, but apparently those two puzzles, if you get all the way through to there, these are the specific numbers anyway on a particular day. There's no way you were going to guess it or work it out.
Look, we're going to give a spoiler alert here, Catherine, as well, for anyone who's behind on Wordle, which is any right-thinking person. I'm not going to say the word, I'm going to let Michelle say it, but apparently there was a word that people really struggled with. It's one of my favourite words.
It is. I totally agree with you. I think it's possibly our age, because it rhymes with troll. Which is what the millennials would have got.
Yeah.
And I just think it's nice for people of our vintage to win at something apart from owning houses. It's nice that we've got a little advantage occasionally on Wordle.
That's right. And it's, you know, it is a word that describes someone who is amusing or witty, sometimes in an unexpected way. So if you are, you know, there's a clue for you. Do they give you clues on Wordle? I don't know. No, I'm unfamiliar with it because...
No clues at all. You know. Don't you do it? Is that not your morning routine?
Once you start, you won't be able to stop, Radar.
Dream.
So don't start. Yeah. Save it for the retirement home or something. Or, you know,
that is my problem with...
Can I tell you that if you don't do Wordle, if you miss it for a few days, they will wipe your stats, which can be frustrating for people. A friend of mine and yours, Radar, Ben Hurley, had his stats wiped, which he found very upsetting. So he only played rude words for the next few days and actually did better, got more twos and threes than he had prior to that.
Seems weirdly passive aggressive for an app, isn't it? If you don't continue to participate, we'll wipe your existence.
I see what you mean. Yeah. That's the New York Times just being a little bit mean. I love Wordle. I have some friends on Twitter that are only my friends because we play Wordle and share what we get each day, and it's a delightful thing.
It's one of the saddest things I've ever heard.
Thank you.
We live such dangerous lives, Michelle, don't we? Yeah.
It's easier to have all of your history wiped from Wordle than it is to unsubscribe from the New York Times. There's something wrong in the world.
And easier to have that history wiped than it would be, like, for example, if your photo ended up being a meme for somebody. What is it? The most hated man in the
The worst person in the world.
That's it. This is Josep Maria Garcia. Tell him the story from Spain, Radar.
Look, his brother-in-law is a professional photographer, came to take a bit of an image of him one day, thought it was so good that he uploaded it to the Getty Stock Images website, and then he had to send him an email saying, hey, look, don't panic, but if you search for the phrase worst person you know in the image search on Google, I'm afraid the photo that comes up is going to be you, because it had been used in a satirical article. And of course, Google's algorithms aren't capable of judging what is satire and what is real news, hence the reason we find ourselves in this current democratic position we do globally. And so poor old Joseph, well, there he is. If you Google worst person in the world, his unsmiling visage comes up.
And he's so calm about it. He said that he's read the comments, which must be kind of hard to take in a way, because people are just saying, yeah, he looks like a Nazi supremacist, or he looks like he has no empathy. And Joseph said, I've got a lot of photos with that look because, let's be honest, that's my look, which kind of proves that he is a really delightful human being rather than the worst person.
He does look delightful. But I'm looking at his photo, but I feel it's like every tech bro author photo that I've ever seen, or someone who's discussing agnosticism. You know, he's just got one of those faces that seems quite ubiquitous for people that you think, I don't know that I'd invite you to a dinner party unless I had people I wanted to annoy, perhaps a neighbour conversation with and realised I didn't like.
In about 10 or 15 years, he could definitely be the leader of the National Party with that.
We literally all could. Hey, I enjoy a building behind a wall, like secret buildings, but you know, things being walled off. Somewhere in Delaware, someone's just discovered behind a wall a vintage Burger King restaurant, and it's so many questions. At what point did someone just decide, you know what, this restaurant's no longer viable? Rather than just putting some paper over the door and stripping it out, we're just going to wall it off.
I know.
Did someone live in there? Like one of those kind of, you remember the people? I can't think of what they were called. They used to wall themselves into towers and turrets and things, predominantly women, who I suspected didn't want to live in a world full of the kind of men that were around them in the Middle Ages.
Well, I suppose it could be revived at some point, couldn't it, if it's just left in the wall like that? You could have your favourite takeaways entry door. It's like a magic little Narnia door. Thank you. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Tarada. Have a lovely weekend.